For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Amen.
About, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago or so, I received an email letter, and maybe a hard copy letter too, from Rolando and Andrea. Am I saying your name right? Is it Andrea?
Andrea.
Andrea, okay. And it'd be the English one that's hard to pronounce, right? And they are from Norristown New Life, Nueva Vida, in Norristown, Pennsylvania, one of the churches that's a part of our conference. And they also had a letter from their pastors, from Marta and from Ertel. Those are the two pastors that I know. Maybe the third pastor also wrote a letter, just blessing them and affirming that God had called them to missions. And they are in the process of preparing to go to Spain. So they asked to be able to come to our church to share their story and to ask for prayer support and things like that from our church. So they are going to come, and I will pray for them as we usually do before someone's... Oh, their two sons are here, Wilmer and Daniel as well. Sorry, guys. And they're holding down the back pews. So and Mom and Dad are holding down the front pews. So as they come, I will pray for them, but Andrea will be sharing the with the PowerPoint for a little bit about their call, and then Rolando will share his testimony, and then he will preach a little bit on the text that we talked about, or we had read. So if they would come, and keep in mind that at the end of their sharing, if you have any questions or things you want to ask them or know, we'll have some time for that. So let's pray. God, I thank you for my brother and my sister, for their call by you, and ask God that as they share this morning, you would give them clarity and wisdom and joy in the sharing, and that your spirit would be moving in our hearts, teaching, convicting, calling us as well. May our time together bring you great joy, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I suggest you use one of the other mics, but not together, because it makes that loud noise. So, however you want to do it.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. We're excited to be here and share with you our vision. So, as already was mentioned, we are preparing to go to Granada, Spain, which is the southern part of Spain, initially for 3 years. That's what our initial commitment is, but our idea is long-term, because long-term we are more able to get into the culture, to really get to know people, build relationships, and have lasting impact, making disciples. Next one. So there is Granada in southern Spain. It's about 45 minutes from the coast there, from southern point. It's a population between 250 to 300,000 people, depending on what we consider its limits. Nominally Catholic, which means, as Pam already mentioned out so beautifully when she was sharing with the children, there are a lot of cathedrals, Catholic churches everywhere, but they are sometimes empty. People would say, yes, I'm Catholic, but a lot of people don't carry out their beliefs. They don't have a relationship with God. So there's just a little typical picture of one section of Granada in the neighborhood, little small houses. Other sections in the middle of the city would be of apartment buildings, which is much like the place we'll be living. People come all over the place to visit, from all over the world, to visit La Alhambra. It's a Moorish castle that was home to the kings, the Moorish kings that were in, they were ruling Spain. The Arabs were ruling Spain for about maybe 700 to 800 years before the Catholics came along and kicked them out. It's an amazing place to visit if you ever get there. So that attracts thousands or maybe even a million tourists every year. How did our calling begin? I know Rolando's going to share some about that, so I'll just kind of hold off on his missions calling. But for myself, what do I call myself? A thoroughbred Mennonite? 100%? You know, Mennonite. I grew up in the Mennonite church. I went to Mennonite schools. So I'm very familiar with the Mennonite world, both my parents. But it's interesting, in my case, it's been little by little, gradually. I just felt this calling that there was something more that God had in mind for me. I've always been kind of antsy that there's something out there that God was calling me to do to other places. Where I had been most fulfilled in my life is when I've served overseas in short-term missions. So we've done a number of things short-term, and now God is calling us to long-term. We did some different short-term missions, as I mentioned. Rolando did some with YWAM in Central America. We met in the YES program, if anybody's ever heard of it, Youth Evangelism Service through the Mennonite Church for young people going out in short-term missions on teams. So we met in 1987. Both of us were leading teams. I was leading one to Mexico. He was leading one to Romania. We were in the same training center in Harrisburg. So that's how that all began. In Honduras then, I ended up going down to Honduras. We worked the Mama Project down there with children who are malnourished, with their mothers, and going to different villages and working as medical interpreters. We did prison ministry. I am currently an English and Spanish teacher in Great Valley School District in Malvern. So we are prepared as far as the language goes, for the most part, of going to Spain. We took a trip last summer just for a week to visit and to explore possibilities a little bit. So it was really... it was awesome to be able to connect with people right away and to be able to communicate. That was wonderful. Next one. So we're actually going with two different missions agencies. We have history with EMM, Eastern Mennonite Missions. We've served with them. But they don't currently have anybody in Spain. And so they connected us with Rosedale Mennonite Missions couple in Granada they've been praying for another family to come along and support them. So... praise God. He's calling us to work alongside them, so that's very exciting. So we'll actually be going with their covering of both agencies. We plan on sharing God, sharing about Jesus just through relationships that we're building. I will be teaching English, volunteering to do that. Everybody wants to learn English there, so that's a definite open door. Soccer, Rolando is the most... expert person I know personally in soccer, so he's very excited to use that, you know, working with kids in whatever form, because they are avid soccer fans in Spain. Also prison ministry. There's a huge university with about 80,000 students. That'll definitely be another open door. And there are Latino immigrants, there are Muslim immigrants, and of course the Spaniards themselves. We have a lot of different opportunities to be able to share Christ. Financial plan, we are going around to a lot of churches in the Franconia Mennonite Conference, inviting them to partner, whatever way you feel God is calling you to. Also, Lancaster Mennonite Conference and Rosedale Mennonite Missions is associated with Conservative Mennonite Conference. So we're reaching out to a lot of people, family, and friends, because we need partners in our work. So pray about it if God's stirring something in your heart. Emotional support. I have Facebook. I am not an addict, but I do use it to communicate with people and to keep up to date. I love that. And especially as we're going overseas, one of the biggest things I look forward to is just being able to connect, you know, via Facebook, find out what's happening in your life. We can pray for you. You can pray for us and kind of know what's going on. So we need emotional support. We definitely need prayer support. Spain is not an easy place. Postmodern Europe, they're happy with their soccer. They're happy with all of their celebrations they have all the time. They're happy with their their identity as Catholics. So it's not an easy place. And, you know, we have been told by missionaries there, this is hard. But, you know, if God's calling you, you know, we need people. And we've been told that. So we're answering God's call, but we need prayer, because we know it's not going to be easy. And we do need financial support. We cannot hold a job there for the first number of years. We'll be volunteering our time, but we're looking for partners. So if God is stirring that in your heart, monthly support is helpful. You know, $20 a month, $25, $50, whatever you would be able to do, or, you know, yearly special gifts. There are a lot of different options, and we can talk to you about that in person a little bit later, but we're excited to go, and we are excited to bring a lot of people with us in spirit. And there's a picture of our family. Okay.
This is the 25. This is the 25-30 second version of what we're going to be doing in Spain.
So, Rolando, I hear that you're going to Spain. What's that about? Are you going to just like to tour or something?
We are going to Spain, and we're going to be missionaries in Spain.
That's awesome.
And so in Spain is an exciting place. We're going to be reaching out to people through soccer. We're going to be doing prison ministry. There's thousands of international students in Granada. We're going to be teaching English, so we're excited about this.
Well, I'm excited for you. How can I join you?
It's very easy. So that's the elevator speech of, you know, our time in Spain, for as long as the Lord needs us in that place. So how much time do I have? 20 minutes. So I got it right here. Okay. Good, 20 minutes. Okay. So, my testimony for 5 minutes. I was born in Honduras, 1977. My dad passed away. Beautiful childhood. 1980, my mom walks out of our lives. My life falls apart in pieces. By 1981, I had no dad. I had no mom. I dropped out of high school because I had no stability. The structure in my family had falling apart. 1981, 1982, 1983, I was a teenager in trouble. I got involved with the wrong crowd. The only thing I didn't do was time in prison. But then, other than that, I did every stupid little thing that you could possibly imagine. But in all that time, from 1977 through 1983, obviously that hole inside of me, I felt it. I thought my dad was, you know, going to be there forever. You don't expect your dad to pass away when you're 10 or 11. It just happened all of a sudden. Much less you would expect that your mom will walk out of our lives just because the pressure of having six children, she couldn't handle that. And that hole on the inside was there. I love soccer, football, and my best friend and me, Nelson and me, we were always playing soccer and talking about soccer and getting involved in soccer in the meantime, an older friend of Nelson, not my friend necessarily, Chris, would come to our neighborhood and reach out to us by playing soccer. Now, Chris was already a Christian, an evangelical Christian. Nelson and me as typical Latin American boys. In Honduras, we were Catholic, nominal Catholic. All we knew was the Catholic Church. Chris was coming to our neighborhood to reach out to us and talk about God, about the church, and we would literally, hi, there he comes. And we did that for 1 or 2 years. But Chris was very insistent. One day I came up to Nelson and I said, listen, man. I was the instigator. I said, listen, we got to get rid of this guy. Why don't we just go to church with him so maybe he could leave us alone? And that's what we did. One night we went to church and we ended up in a place like this. Ladies on one side, guys on the other side, very dark place. And the preacher was saying stuff, obviously, that I had no idea what he was talking about. Because we were there to please Chris. That was the whole thing. He continued, you know, to invite us to church. And we went to another smaller church a second time. In the meantime, I was in all kinds of trouble, right? Stealing, you know, I dropped out of high school, getting drunk and all that stuff. And he took us to this little church, 1983. August 19th, 1983, Sunday evening. Very specific. This preacher from Guatemala was talking about God. Not, you know, to the congregation in general, saying, God loves you. God has a plan for you. I was in the back pew, only 17 years old, 17 years old one day, because my birthday had taken place the night before, Saturday. I got drunk and all that stuff. On Sunday, you know, I was just looking for Nelson, playing soccer and so forth, so we went to church with Chris. That Sunday evening, I came to Christ, 1983, and it has never been the same. This has been a wonderful, it's been trials, I don't have the time for this. It's been a lot of problems, little difficulties, but I think I should say it's been wonderful. So this is almost 34 years ago that I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I praise Him for that. So that's my 5-minute version of a testimony. I have dozens and dozens of stories. But I'm going to leave it at that. I have to let you know, Christ is real. He met me in a slum of the capital city of Honduras, and my life has never been the same. I have to share this because it's been exciting. I have to share it. It has been wonderful. It has been exciting. Now, why do we do this thing about Spain? Now, remember, I'm very specific. August 19th, 1983, Sunday, 7 p.m. Very, very specific, right? So, 5 years, 221 days later. Listen to this. 5 years, 221 later, days later leads me to April 7th, 1989, 3 a.m. in the morning. Very specific. April 7th, 1989, 3 a.m. in the morning. I hear the voice of God in my heart telling me, I am not only sending you to Honduras. Who told you that? I am sending you to the nations. And He gave me Isaiah 49:6. I have given you to the light, not only to the tribes of Israel, but I have given you as a light to the nations, so you can take my salvation to the ends of the earth. Hey, I was just a little, I was only 22 years old, still in the slum of Honduras. And the Lord is telling me, I'm sending you to the nations. I wasn't even 23 years old. In fact, I was only five years, 21 days old in my Christian faith. And the Lord began to speak to me about Germany, France, and China, and all those places. So, this is not new to me. I want to share within that context three things with you in the 12 minutes that I have. Three things. We have, in Matthew 28, we have the commission, the Great Commission. And also we have, I call that Great Commission because it's a privilege. I call it the nomination. And one meaning of nomination is to propose for an honor. When the Lord gives us the Great Commission, it's really an honor to us. It is an honor. Because we are representing the King of the universe. So we have a commission. We have a nomination. We have a need in front of us. And we have a necessity, which is inside of us. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. For necessity is laid upon me. And I have nothing to boast about when I preach this gospel. So, the Great Commission is our nomination. The Lord is saying, I propose, I'm setting you apart for the honor of sharing me with the nations, with the people. And that's what we're doing with our neighbors. Because missions is not just go to Burma or just go to Brazil. No, you have to start with your neighbors. You have to start with your neighbors. So, the Great Commission, go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I am with you. This is an honor for us. I saw the Lord, say, Isaiah says, high and lifted up, and the train fills his temple. And who will go for us? And Isaiah, humbled by the experience, awesome experience of seeing the throne of God and the angels and the archangels and all that drama right there. And he says, here I am, Lord, send me. It's an honor. Come on. It's an honor to serve this Lord and Savior of our souls in other places or with our neighbors. It is a nomination. So I'm going to leave you at that. You have been nominated to say, you are my representative. I'm going to send you to your neighbor. I'm going to send you to the ends of the earth. Because in Acts 1:8, he gives us more specific instructions. He says, and you will be my witnesses. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then you will go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He breaks it apart in four. Your Jerusalem is right here. This is not my Jerusalem. My Jerusalem is Tegucigalpa, Honduras. This is more like the ends of the earth for me because I'm here. Why? I never expected I was going to be in Whitehall, Pennsylvania. That was not my plan. Every one of us, we have a Jerusalem, we have a Samaria, we have a Judea, we have an ends of the earth. So that is the nomination. You can go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or to the ends of the earth. We have been called to Judea, to Jerusalem for very many years, and now we have to go to the ends of the earth. So that's the nomination. Now, we have a need outside. Jesus says, Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. That is the need outside. And the need is, it's obvious that the need is great. Think about all the financial pressures the world is going through, poverty, terrorism, immigration. The need is obvious. The need is great. The obstacles are significant. Humanly speaking, we don't feel safe anywhere now. There is pain. In America, there is addiction. In Spain, there is a lot of addiction. I do prison ministry in Liberty Ministries in Schwenksville. So I've been doing that for 10 years. So I understand that. The enemy is lurking, and the excuses are pretty many too, because it's dangerous. Who will go for us? Here I am, Lord.
Send her.
Send him. Yeah. I mean, let's be real. It's difficult. Nothing should stop us, because we have been given an honor. We have been given a nomination. Biblically speaking, we have been given a great commission. So the need is when you look out there, and you, in your humanity, you feel, wow, this task is enormous. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. And I'm with you. Take it easy. You're going to be okay. Just seek my face as much as you can. And you will have that power. And that presence will be with you. And that purpose will propel you into places, to go into places that you don't even imagine. And finally, the necessity. In my version 9, 1 Corinthians 9:16, that you guys read the entire context, in my version here, which is New King James Version, says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me." Yes. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Necessity, you're not looking on the outside anymore. Necessity is, you're looking on the inside. You're looking into your own heart. Do you feel that burden to share Jesus Christ with your neighbor? Do you feel that burden to share Jesus Christ with your co-workers? Do you feel that burden inside of you? Necessity is laid upon me. You know, I didn't put it there myself. It's not in your own strength, humanly speaking. It's the Holy Spirit that went like this. This is your responsibility. Do we feel that burning on the inside, like Jeremiah said, when I wanted to just stop and shut up, and I just couldn't, because it was a burning inside of me. Necessity is laid upon me. I have to do this. I have no other option. I have to do it. I feel it on the inside. I gotta do it. You know, my neighbor is in trouble. My neighbor is having issues in his marriage. Stuff that we're going, that we're experiencing with our neighbors. We have to get involved. We have to share this message with them. Do we feel that urgency? Do we feel that necessity? Or is simply the need making us so scared and so frightened that we cannot even move because it's so hard? So difficult. I want to hide. But if you have that passion, that burden, that urgency, you know that you're not alone. Go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I'm with you. And you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, shows us in Scriptures that he had this passion. On the road to Damascus, he had his April 7th experience. It should be the other way around. But he could not keep it inside any longer. It happened to him when he was like 31 or 32 years old. And he was killed by the Romans in 67. For the following 34 years of Paul's life, that necessity was there. He wasn't moved by the need, even though the need was right there too. But the need cannot move us, should not move us. It should be the calling of God in our lives. So, you have a nomination, Great Commission. You have a nomination. You have, there is a need outside, but there's a necessity. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. So, that's my little meditation. So, as you can see, this idea of going to Spain is more than just an idea. So this, in my case, started in 1989. In her case, right around the same time. So we're not playing with this. We're not playing. So we want to do this because we have to. And it's not the need. I can tell you about all the needs that the Spanish people, that Spain has, but that shouldn't move us. It should be the necessity, the calling, the passion, the burning, the fire inside. You know, it's like, I have given you this honor. But we need you. We need you. You know, and to be honest with you, people don't give money to people they don't know. So if I am here and asking you money, you don't even know me. So asking you for money is kind of like, would be kind of pathetic, because people give money to people they know. And people give money to people they care about. So I have, this is my proposal. It is unreal. It's unrealistic. It's improbable that we're going to have a relationship with 50 churches giving us $200 a month. It's very improbable. Because we don't have the time for that. Nobody has the time to visit 55, 57 churches. So what we're dreaming about is 10 or 12 churches to partner with us. For 3 years, you know, because the terms are 3 years. You know, 3 years, and then you reconsider your calling with us, you're partnering with us, and that's it. And you can do it for, you know, as a church or three individuals in a congregation. I don't know how the Lord is going to move you. But we want to have a relationship with you. In other words, I want to be here again and a couple of times throughout the, you know, through the many times, many years we're going to be in Spain. But we can only do that with 8, 10, 12 churches. Is that... Do you see that? I mean, I cannot be saying this thing to... I'm saying this thing to a lot of churches, but I know not all churches will... Yeah, we want to do that. Up to this point, we have 5 or 6 churches. So we're looking for 6, you know, 5 or 6 more churches to partner with us for 3 years. The amount is up to you guys. I don't want to, you know, go into many details about that. But this is exciting. And your investment is secure. We're not playing games with this. So this is... I'm 20... almost 28 years, you know, in preparation for this. So we're not going to, all of a sudden, you're not going to receive a phone call from us in Spain. Oh, we're going back because these Spanish people, they're crazy. They don't want the gospel. You know, this thing is so crazy. It's so difficult here. We didn't even know what we were getting into. No, I mean, you know, we're mature enough to realize that, you know, the Lord has been preparing us for that. So, you know, that's in a nutshell. We want to have a relationship with you. You know, the amount of the you know, the people who want to do it. I don't know how the Lord is going to lead you. The budget, you know, a yearly offering. You know, hey, the Zelayas are coming in 2019 to visit us, and they will be on a Sunday with us. A yearly offering. I don't know. It's up to you. But the Lord wants us to share this, because this is a partnership. It is a partnership. And again, your investment is secure. We're going to be preaching the gospel. We're going to be sharing King Jesus with other people. The way he came to me, I know there's some other people in desperation, young, old, in desperation, not knowing what to do with their lives. And the Lord is willing to reach out to them. But we need to be his instruments for that to happen. So thank you very much for this time. And we feel more home when there are like all kinds of variety of cultures in a church, because we're sold out to that. So when we see all different kinds of people, we love it. So God bless you, and thank you for your time.